Psalm 119. The Bible says in verse number 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I'm going to move some of this around just a little bit. Let me ask you the question. What we're talking about is the subject of holiness. Now, you have to understand the key to my mission field in El Salvador isn't that much different than your mission field right here in Minnesota. The answer to most of our problems is we have to get God's people to grow. That is, they have to get stronger in their knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And it's not just their knowledge of the Word of God, but it's their love of the Word of God, and it's the fact that let the Word of God take control of their life. And in the process of that, when that takes place, there's a wonderful thing that takes place at the same time called holiness. Now, let me ask you the question, what's holy? What is holy? I mean, there's a holy Bible. You're all holding one of those. There's a holy people, right? You've heard of them. There's a holy land. There's a holy city that comes down out of heaven, right? What is holy? What makes something holy? Well, there's several good definitions. Let me offer you one. Holy is something that God owns and controls. Let me ask you the question, are you holy? And if you was going to be holy, how would you get to the place where you could ever think that in your life, that, yeah, God owns and controls me? Now, we know that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We know that you're purchased with a price, and we know all those things. But how is it that God gains control of this dirty, rotten flesh? Well, I want you to know, understand right off the front, I'm not preaching to you tonight that you can ever get complete victory. I mean, I'm not saying that you're ever going to get sinless. I want to encourage you that the operative word there is young. Young. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, you understand that somebody can be 50 years old, but still a spiritual baby, right? You understand that? You understand how somebody could maybe be 30 years old, but a very mature Christian just because they let the Word of God just have root in their life and grow. Let me ask you the question, how old are you spiritually? How old are you? Because the vast majority of open, rebellious, wicked, disgusting sin that we don't like, and if we named what it was, it'd be terrible, happens when we're spiritually young. So what I want to do just real quick is I want to lay out, there's no way I'm going to cover this subject completely, but I'm going to put enough to put some seeds in your mind and challenge you, and then I'll leave it to your pastor to make a lot more application. Okay? He does that tonight, we'll just eat here. But if not, you can check him over the next few weeks. So the first thing I want you to think about is a baby in Christ. Brother Brandon has a brand new 2-week-old baby. Just a cute, kind of gets me pumped up for the whole thing. I've got one coming in 2 weeks, and we're just excited. But imagine, have you ever seen how small a little baby is? I mean, a little bitty infant baby. They can't hold themselves up. They can't, I mean, they can't make it on their own. They're totally relying on us. Now, if you're a brand new Christian, I want you to know that that's all right. It's all right for you to be a brand new Christian, a baby in Christ. How do you know if you're a baby in Christ? Well, if you want to write this down, over at the end of the book of Hebrews chapter 5, it says that a person that is a babe in Christ is unskillful in the word of truth. So what happens is that if you're a baby in Christ, it's because a lot of times because you're unskillful in the word of God. So if the pastor said, okay, we're going to preach tonight out of Zephaniah, and bless your soul, you couldn't find Zephaniah. I mean, you could find Zephaniah about as fast as you could find Hezekiah, you know, or some book like that. You know, I mean, you're still looking for Joel chapter 9. You know, I mean, it's you're just a brand new babe and you don't know. Now, the problem is, it's no problem if you're there, if that's where you're at. The problem is when you stay there. Because a baby Christian that chooses not to grow, we have another term. It's called a carnal Christian. Just a baby. Now, hey, I pastored a Southern Baptist church. I know, I've got this thing figured out. I know how this works. Because what happens is in our churches, the SBC churches, we're so hungry for men, any men, to come to church, that some of these people would come to church and they would sit there, and the first thing we'd think, wow, they've been here 6 months in a row. Man, they're just a nice-looking family. Make him a deacon. got a church running 200 people and 25 deacons. You know, I mean, and what happens is that just because they're attending church, praise God, is that doesn't mean that they're spiritually mature enough to be a leader in the church. And so what happens with babies, what you end up doing is you end up, when a baby gets a little older, you start feeding them baby food, you know, little Gerber stuff. You ever tasted that stuff? That's nasty. I mean, we had all kinds of tricks to try to get our kids to eat. You know, I was like, okay, Josh, here it comes. Here's the airplane. Rum, bum, 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 bum. And he'd laugh, and I'd put it right in there. Poor guy's like, don't touch me, man. You know, and we do that, and that's what happens when you're preaching to a lot of babies. A preacher has to get up here and do jumping jacks or do something, you know, to get you laughing so that he can get something in there. Because babies don't really handle the word that straight. So on Sunday morning, a lot of times, you know, a pastor may not be quite as strong on some things as you want. Why? Because the babies can't handle it. You know what I mean? You have to have some grace. But that's a baby Christian. Now, the next one is a little child. Now, that's a four-year-old or maybe younger. And they're learning to grow. They're learning to dress themselves. They're learning to feed themselves, learning to comb their own hair, learning to do some different things. But the problem with this child, when they get to the place where they can crawl and they begin to grow, is you got to go around all your cupboards and you've got to lock the doors because these kids are going to get into everything. The reason your pastor has on the back row there all this material and different things is because it's really unsafe for a brand new Christian to go to the Christian bookstore down at the mall. You know why? There's things in there that could kill them. There really is. The reason that the pastor sometimes will sit on the church and say, listen, we use this Bible and we do things this way is not because he hates you, not because he's wanting to lord over you, not in our circles. I mean, we're anti-pastoral authority crowd the way it is. You know what I mean? But what happens is that he's trying to keep you alive. I had a guy in my church. His name was Joe Ream. Joe Ream was the defensive coordinator for the high school football team. I mean, he was my coach. He'd been coached every person that come through Putnam County for who knows how long. And Joe Ream was a classic D coordinator. Big old strong guy. You know, he was Mr. Intensity. He had big old blood vessels. You know, thought he was going to die of a heart attack any moment. Walking around, he says, Myers, hey, you get over here. You know, and he says, I'm intense. I like to see my players intense. I want to see things intense around here. You better show me some intensity, son. You want to play football on my team. That's how he was. That was Joe Ream. But old Joe Ream got saved. And I mean, he got saved. He was on fire for God. He would go around, he'd call up all these former players, you know, guys that played on state championship football teams. He'd call them up and he'd say, hey, I want you to know that I live my life with intensity. Jesus Christ was an intense individual. Jesus Christ, he loved you enough to die for you. That's pretty intense. You need to do something intense right now. You need to pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I mean, just people are like, whoa, what happened to Coach Ream? You know, it's like Darth Vader got saved. You know, I mean, wow. You know, I mean, just, you know, just cut your little windpipe off. And so what happened is this guy was on fire. I mean, he was just calling people all, but a brand new baby Christian. And then something happened. And Brother Kyle, I was just a young pastor. I didn't see, I mean, you know, by fish, you know, fishing, some fish are bigger than others. Joe Ream was a big fish in our community. He was a big one. When he got saved, I mean, that guy, I mean, one time he came up to me, he says, Myers, do you know why that a bulldog's nose is snoped backwards? I said, no, sir, why? He said, so he can still breathe while he's chewing you alive. You know? I mean, that's just said the most filthy. But when the old boy got saved, there was a lot of people wanting to run him around like a Christian trophy. And somebody went up to him and said, you know what we could use here is a fellowship of Christian athletes. And he's like, well, what's that about? You know? And he says, well, it's an organization completely dedicated to leading people to Christ in high schools. He said, okay, I'll do that. Guy was gutsy. He didn't care. And what happened was, and I was young, I was thinking, well, you know, okay. And he got in there, and the first thing that happened, the Christian church pastor, youth pastor, come over. Said, now, we don't want to hear nothing about eternal security. Then the Methodist guy came over and he had his things. The other Baptist church started coming over. And old Joe Ream got saddled in a non-denominational ministry. He's never won a person to Christ since. What happened? What happened was his pastor, me, needed to have more experience, and I needed to guide him away from that ministry. You know why? Because when you're young, you're gullible. You're gullible. And if you're young in your faith, understand, you're gullible too. Listen, I know as a pastor, I didn't want people coming around to me and asking me hundreds of questions. You know, should I buy this car? You know, or I just got saved and I didn't want that. I didn't want to be a micromanager of their lives. But understand something. If you're a brand new Christian, or if you're a young Christian, or if you've been saved just a few years and you're growing, you better ask him. If you don't know, you know, I mean, if you don't know how to discipline your kids, go ask him. If you don't know how to manage your money, at least ask him. You know, if you don't know maybe you don't even know what you should be tithing. Well, he don't really want to get involved in that part of your life. But if you don't know, you need to find out because you're young. You're young in your faith. Then what happens as you begin growing, you become an older child, like 12 or 11 or so, maybe just an older child. And the older child has got some things figured out, right? They're way past what the little kids got figured out. In fact, they're kind of always the one getting the little kid into trouble. It'd be amazing what my 9-year-old can get my 6-year-old to do. And what happens is, as you begin to grow, the problem with this one is they're learning things like don't chew with your mouth open. They're learning things like manners. They're learning when it's appropriate to talk, when it's not appropriate to talk. And what happens is, in this time period, they've got to learn some manners. Do you realize, as a Christian, you've got to learn some manners? See, I thought I was this super giant back in 2001 because I was the only one in my whole community that had a King James Bible, and I could tell them all about it. But I wasn't over there. I was right here. And guys like Kyle Stevens and guys like Sam Gipp and different ones, I got under that preaching, they knocked some rough edges off me. You know, I needed to do that. You know, in my church, we started a Bible Institute. And, man, it was going good. And, you know, something amazing happened, Brother Kyle. Half the people that were in the Bible Institute weren't even from our church. I mean, they were coming in there, and they were dumb millennial too. And they come in, and they were just growing and just eating. And I was teaching the Bible. I got teaching on the Battle of Armageddon. You know, I dress the thing up. I take them over to Joel chapter 2. And, you know, we all know who the army that Christ returns with. It's the church. You know, they didn't know that. Wow, that's great. So I take them over to Joel chapter 2. I dressed Joel up like he was some embedded reporter for the 7th Mountain Division. They're coming in to battle. And I go over to Zechariah and show where Jesus Christ touch his foot on Mount of Olives, that thing splits in two. Then I go over to later on Zechariah 14 with a sharp sword that goes out of his mouth, actually melts people, and they're consumed in the brightness of his coming. Their eyes melting their head and their tongue. And then the is a group about like this, and the hair was on the back of their head was stand up. I knew I was laying the gravy on pretty thick. I mean, they had never seen anything like that. And out of left field, a gal in church stood up and says, "Ha! You can't get this at the Christian church." Well, half of the people that were there were from the Christian church. You know? And just think, some of them weren't saved. Some of them still aren't saved. They never came back. See, what happened was is they didn't have any grace. They didn't learn any Christian manners. Listen, that's where I was. I had my King James sawed-off shotgun. I was just walking around, boom! You don't know to believe in King James Bible, boom! You don't believe in dispensational, boom! You don't know how to do, boom, boom! Kiltacular, kiltacular, kiltacular! I was just going on down the line. You know, I didn't care. I was God's trigger man. Amen? Well, you know what? I found out God didn't need any more trigger men. And I needed to grow spiritually. He's talking about Halo over there. All that stuff is great if you don't care about souls. But if you care about souls, you know, I changed my attitude about the thing. I still strong King James, but I didn't care if somebody came in my church with a Sears catalog for a Bible. I didn't care. I was just going to love them and show them the truth and the Word of God, and I just didn't have to teach them everything overnight. So I began to grow. And so then you move into the stage of the teenager stage. Now, the teenager stage is interesting because at this point they know everything. Just ask them. One of my foster daughters said, "Hey, Dad, a bunch of us, you know, she was a senior in high school. A bunch of us are wanting to go we want to go and go to this pond and do fishing and different things. Can we borrow your Chevy Avalanche?" I'm like, "No." Of course not. You think I'm crazy? Then I got thinking, well, doggone it. I'm just always rough on him, always mean on him. Okay, you can go ahead. So they come back about 4 hours later, and my daughter said, oh, by the way, you remember Troy? I was like, yeah, I know Troy, honey. I know Troy. Well, he drove your truck, and he said the transmission's a little soft. I'm like, oh, really? Well, his transmission's going to be soft in a little bit, too. See, Troy's problem was Troy was an expert in Chevy pickups. You didn't believe it? Just ask him. I mean, he knew all about it, everything. His dad's former uncle's roommate's twice-removed cousin had a body shop, and he knew all about Chevy pickups. And so he was an expert. Chevy pickups do this. Chevy pickups do that. Chevy, shut up. Troy, we don't want to hear about no Chevy pickup. In fact, I'm going to sell my Chevy pickup and buy a Ford just because you like it. You know, I mean, and that's the way we are when we're spiritual teenagers. Now, understand something. I'm not going to get real psychological on you here, but you can't skip these stages. When you get saved, you get to go through them all. My wife and I took in foster children. And one of the things, we took this one girl in, and just a peach of a gal. I mean, we love her to death. And the deal was is that we got her when she was 13, but she played with Barbie dolls still. She played with Barbie doll. She would hang out with the 9-year and 10-year-old girls, and she played with them, but she wasn't the kid at the school that didn't have bad friends. She was the kid at school that had no friends, not one. And what had happened was she'd been out of school for 2 or 3 years, and her mom had signed her up as an attention deficit and bipolar and everything. She had a big old basket of pills, and her mom would take those pills and take them, and she would sell those on the street for the drugs that she really wanted. And then the mom's boyfriend thought that she was cuter than her mom. And she had to endure that for 2 or 3 years. And every time a state entity like Illinois or Iowa or Missouri would finally start tracking them down, realize this kid's not in school and what else is going on, they'd move to another state. And this went on. The hell that she lived in lasted for 3 years. And then after they finally caught him, I mean, I knew them from the community and kind of worked some things around to where we got the kid out of there and different things. And basically what happened was is then they found out this guy had done this to a lot of other little girls. And they put my girl on the stand and had her testify in front of the guy and put him away for 15 years. No wonder she was what we call developmentally delayed. Now here's what happens is that you can't skip developmental stages. You can go through them pretty fast, but you can't skip them. Like what it would be a 1 year of developmental stage, you could go through them 4 or 5 months if you had the right environment and all the different things, and boom, you zip right through it. But you can't skip these. As a Christian, what happens is you've got to go through every one of these. Every one of these. You're going to be a point in your life where you just don't know any Bible. You're saved, and that's it. Then there's a place where you're growing, but you're easily duped. Don't think that there was never a point in your Christian walk where you weren't easily duped. Because if you don't think that, the chances are that's right where you're sitting. You know, well, I would never, you know, I could go to the... Yeah, you couldn't do nothing without the grace of God. And that's part of our problem. That was part of my problem. I had a Dr. Ruckman set of tapes in one hand and King James Bible in the other, and I was ready to go, you know. But I didn't know sick of about grace. I didn't really know even all that much about the Bible, Brother Kyle. You know, I just happened to live in a situation where nobody knew anything about the Bible. So I shined like a bright light there, man, but it was just a little flicker, you know. And that's what happens sometimes is you sitting around and some of you kids and different things, you're here and praise God. You know, your pastor is Kyle Stevens. That may not mean nothing to you. That guy's a hero across the country. I mean, around people that know preachers. And what happens is you sit in there, my preacher does this, my preacher does this. What do you know, kid? What do you know, sir? What do you know, ma'am? Have you grown in your faith? See, what happens is after the teenager stage, then you move into a stage of a Christian adulthood. Now, what does an adult do? Well, it's very obvious. They raise children. Now, there's a lot of people maybe tonight that say, I'm sitting in that seat right there. I'm an adult Christian. Okay, well then who are you discipling? Isn't that really what adults do? Don't they disciple the younger Christians? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. You can tell at Christmas time. At Christmas time, the kids are ready to open their gifts and find out what they got. The adults are wondering, how am I going to pay for this? Okay? Well, that's what happens. In a church, the young Christians are trying to figure out what their spiritual gift is, you know. But the adults, we're trying to look around and we're seeing them as they come in the door. And we're change where we sit. And move over and sit right next to one. And put your arm around, try to help them, try to encourage them. Why? Because they're sitting over here. And your job as a church, this, what makes this church strong is not all the teenagers and little kids they have in the church. What makes this, the church strong is the adult Christians that can stand in the middle of the battle with their loins girded about with the truth of God, with the full armor of God. It's you adult Christians that tithe. This crowd do sometimes and sometimes they don't. It's you that show up to visitation. It's you that are the ones leading the bus routes. It's you that are here doing the work of the church. It's great if you can get some of these to do it sometimes and help out. But the fact is, you can't count on them. They're kids. Spiritually, maybe 50 years old, but that's just where they're at. Your job is to help move them up. Now, I'm just telling you, the difference, the reason, sometimes we get around and we get disappointed or whatever, we think, you know, why can't God just give us more saved people? Because sometimes as churches, we develop a rotten attitude about people that come into our doors. You know, whenever I was a youth pastor, God began to call me into full-time ministry. And I was still owned two or three furniture stores and different that. And I got to where I just hated the furniture business. I hated it with a passion. I'd look up and somebody would walk in the door and say, oh, great, here they come. They're going to want to buy something. Ugh. I'm going to have to deliver it. I've only got 4 tickets left in the just ticket book. I'm going to order more. You know? And what a rotten attitude that I had. But I've watched adult Christians that ought to know better develop that attitude about people coming in the church. They look at them and they say, oh, great, here they come. Their marriage is a mess. It probably is. You know, their finances are terrible. Their kids are out of control. All that stuff. Hey, that's who we're winning! Okay? We wasn't put here so that we can rub shoulders and compare ourselves with ourselves. Our job, if we've got the right book, we've got the right gospel, we've got the right understanding of the Scriptures, and we've got the right zeal, our job is to get out there and keep them out of hell. And it's a messy business sometimes. And it's not a piece of cake. You know, I mean, in the military, you know, they got all these techniques, you know, the peel technique and the L-shaped ambush. And, you know, I see tanks. I see infantry. Give me suppression fire. I'm reloading Ford assault with a bayonet. All the different things you see about that. But you know what they always have in the little Ranger field manual down there? Is a little thing that says terrain dictating. You can't do a pretty little peel technique whenever you're on the side of a mountain. That is, whenever you see all the techniques that you're supposed to do in the Word of God and all the things you're supposed to, it's terrain dictating. That is, when you do a discipling people, you just have to follow the Spirit because it's not going to be cookie cutter. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know how you can spot a convention church? I mean, a convention as in a denomination? Cookie cutter. Everything's got to be just the same way. You know, there's the Southern Baptist Convention, then there's the Independent Baptist Convention. You know, and it's just everything has to, no grace, no nothing, just everything the same way. You know, the Methodists, they have theirs the same way. Assembly of God, the same way. You can just spot them coming. Bible believers, we're going to have to get out and meet people where they're at, and we're going to have to win them. Then as you move along through here, here is the elder. Now, that's the problem solver in the church. That is a guy that has done this job of discipling, still does it, but has done it for some time. Okay, he's the problem solver. What do I mean by the problem solver? Remember over in James chapter 5 where it says that if somebody's sick, bring them to the elders and they'll pray over them and recover, you know, all that kind of stuff. What the idea is that the elder in the church, that is somebody that has discipled people for several years and has led people to Christ, has discipled them and watched the person they led to Christ and disciple lead other people to Christ and disciple them. That person is not a problem maker in the church, but a problem solver. See the difference? And this is the minimum qualification for a pastor. And of course, then the aged saint, Paul said, I'm Paul the aged. That's somebody in the fullness of wisdom. Let me ask you the question tonight, as we draw close to close, I'm going to be done here in about 3 minutes, is which one of these seats are you sitting in? And if you've got yourself identified in one of these seats, how is it that you move up? How is it that you move up? Let me just show you real quickly. And this is the part that I'm going to have to let the pastor just continue teaching you year in, year out, is you've got to grow in the Word. Look at verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So what happens is you've got to grow in the Word of God, because you get into the Word of God and you just stay in it. And you become, let it saturate your life. You learn to teach other people. You begin to learn it yourself. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, in my Bible, this is the last illustration I'll close, is in my Bible there's 1,171 pages. 1,171 pages. It takes me about 5 minutes to read one of these pages. Now, maybe you can read it faster, but I kind of read it devotionally. You know, I'll read something and I'll just say, Lord, what are you telling me there? And it takes me about 5 minutes to do that. Okay? If I would do that, I would read 3 of those pages a day. I read through my Bible cover to cover one time per year. If I would do that for 50 minutes, 10 pages, I would read through my Bible cover to cover 3 times a year. If I would do that twice a day, 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes in the evening, I would read through my Bible cover to cover 6 times a year. And if I did that for 20 years, I'd have read through my Bible cover to cover 120 times. Now, understand something. George Mueller, one of my heroes in the faith, read through his Bible cover to cover 200 times. John Wesley, one of my personal heroes, founded the Methodist Church, read through his Bible cover to cover 200 times. George Whitefield, First Great Awakening, maybe you heard of him, read through his Bible cover to cover 200 times. Understand what I'm saying. I'm saying the answer for Minneapolis and St. Paul area is not going to be found at your courthouse. It's going to be found out the schoolhouse. Certainly won't be found at the White House. It's found in the church house. See, if you're really upset about the way things are going in America, look in the mirror, bro. Look in the mirror. Do you know why God doesn't give you 40 brand new Christians a month? Because He can't usually pair them up with 40 adult Christians to disciple them. Because if they just all flooded in, I've been at Southern Baptist Church, I know how that works. They all flood in, and do you know what happens? They get to vote in a business meeting. And it gets hairy. You don't have a flock, you have a zoo. Now, what happens is God will increase your numbers when you, men and women, in this church, increase to this seat. That's where the action's at. That's the forefront of the battle. That's where we're the strongest. Amen? Amen? Pastor, come ahead.
All right, let's finish up here with our eyes bowed. Heads bowed and our eyes closed. Ginny's going to play here for a minute and give you an opportunity to come. You heard some really good stuff here tonight, folks. And Buffin said, you know, one of the things in the Christian life that's sometimes hard to figure out is exactly where you're at. You've got to try to figure out some litmus test of orienting yourself to know, you know, what your longitude and latitude is. And yeah, that was the kind of sermon you got tonight. I don't know how you feel about the people at Blessed Old Baptist Church. I hope I do. Everybody here knows that some of us need to be further along than we are. And I wonder, for those of you, I've told you many times, I've been saved now for 40 years. I wonder how many of you that have been saved for 10, 15, 20 years actually have somebody under your wing right now that you actually are trying to help on a regular basis. I don't mean it has to be a formal relationship where you're formally meeting with someone in a Bible study and formally discipling them. I am talking about how you meet somebody at the back door. How you meet somebody that you know is having problems. What you do in a situation like that. In June, Marcy and I will have been here for 24 years. Some of you guys have been here for that entire time, just about. Some quite a bit less. But you heard good, real good stuff here tonight. I hope you'll consider it. Sometimes folks say, "What can I do in church?" What they mean is, you know, is there a Sunday school class I can help with? Is there something official I can do? And that sort of thing. And sometimes there is. I'll tell you what you can always do. You can always, always, always find somebody to be an encouragement to. You can always, always, always find somebody to help that is younger than you and could use your help. Had a little rash of folks getting saved here recently. Have a couple of young folks that are saved. I wonder how many of you adults have taken somebody under your wing to see what you can help. Stand down here and pray, and you guys don't hurry that are down here. Let's open our hymn books, turn to number 328 and stand. 328. Sounds good. You can be seated for just a minute here. It's a blessing having Brother Myers here. I wish we could have had more time with him, to be honest with you. And I have an offering for him here tonight. Usher, if you guys want to come, everything that you give tonight will go to Brother Meyer. He'll be headed back tomorrow, I think. He's anxious to get back to his wife. Be having a baby here pretty quick, and he wasn't intending to bring these young'uns with him, but I think they talked him into the Mall of America yesterday or something like that. So that's why he was a little tired tonight. But all right, let's have a word of prayer. Brother Jason, would you pray for us, please?
Lord, thank you for getting us all here today.